A very good evening to you. I'm welcome to Behind the News. My name is I'm focused on the establishment of independent multi-party parliamentary budget bill to monitor government spending. It is a panacea for spending in the public sector. The news live on Radio Ghana Accra. Now to our first story. The use of a mobile phone has become part of the everyday life of most Ghanaians. While some patrons of mobile telecommunication services are eager to have more than one network, others go with only one. Time and number, Ghanaians are complaining about how service providers do take them for a ride. When we are trusting the services to our government, consumers are not even informed about it. One would not be wrong to say that some telecommunications service providers have fully taken consumer for granted. Even as of now, millions of government decisions to use MTN mobile services are not allowed to run the airtime unit and internet data on their phones are reading 000.
Bye. tell you that I don't really use it to make calls. I rather use it for WhatsApp and stuff like that. I bought it, and today I had a call, and I just decided to return the call to be told that I don't have credit. I was so shocked, and I decided just to check it again. And guess what? I was told I have 0 minutes to make a call. What is that? How do I explain it? 5 CD is not much, really, it's not much. But the fact that I really needed to make a call.
And how do I complain to MTN?
Who do I complain to?
But do you try to call the customer service one and the response?
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no. It never even occurred to me that I can make a complaint.
So what do you do now? MTN released a statement today.
Oh, really?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, madam.
Can you narrate your ordeal to us?
I'm not sure. I talk to you on your program. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. As I said in your intro, these service providers are really not helping us. Can you imagine somebody in the middle of the night just wanting to make quick contact to people? Only to have this whole issue of not having minutes. And the whole, listen, I woke up this morning, I wanted to make a call, and only to realize that there was no unit on my phone. Meanwhile, last night I checked, I have 7 cities, and I have a data bundle of over 600 megabytes. So you ask, what is happening? You try their 111, nobody fixed it. Nobody, until just late this evening before you hear that they've issued a statement. And a quick check, if it's not all mobile answers or who have suffered this, the question is that they should be on air now to explain to us why others have suffered this. Maybe that's the claim to tell us. It's really very difficult. If they are even going to fund, somebody's business might have had a problem to because he couldn't get the time to call his business partner on time. I decided not to recharge because I want to know what the problem is. But look at the thousands of people who didn't know thinking that the problem was from Hansel, and they go out there to be topping up.
It's difficult in working to rectify the charge for the credit loss will be replaced. Are you satisfied?
What then happens to the businesses that have lost or the contact I could make for other things where I should give information to people? Because I don't know if I buy the unit and it goes off. I couldn't be on the net to do anything. And they'll tell you they'll refund it. What has happened? And this is what has not helping the economy. Because when it happens, we all gloss over it. When it happens, let's leave it. And they'll continue doing this. And this happens. I now understand why people have more than one network, well, more than three phones. It's not that we think they are trying to show off. But I now understand because when it happens like this, you are supposed, you may want to fall on other networks, especially our regulators, the National Communication Authority. I think it's about time to step up in some of these things so that when they have good services, I think people do not want to carry 3 to 4 phones around. NCA, I expect that NCA should come out hard on this issue. How can you, they may come out and tell us that it's maybe about only 100 people who suffered the credit loss to them. But that 100 people, can they quantify the economic loss to those people? Can they?
All right. Put your issues across to MTN officials. And thank you for your time.
Tell NCA people should help us. They should be on top of issues to get this, our telecoms really do the work that they are supposed to do for us. At least tomorrow I can hear a statement from NCA on this thing. I'll be very glass. So that they don't take us for a glass. They will say we've been refund. They will go and give you 40 pesos. 40 pesos, what will it do? Thank you for
radio. So many people want to contact when it comes to clarify to continue to raise regarding the statement and the client to speak in the statement on their side answers everything. But the question is, when will customers get a replacement of the lost credit? It's live radio Ghana Crown. Budget office to monitor government spending. But what do you think of this recommendation behind the news into the proposal? First, we talked to the senior economist of RDA, Dr. John Kwan, to address the press conference. Good evening, Dr. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Dr. Kwan, RDA is the initial assessment of the 2014 budget.
Well, we think that it has some positive initiatives, which we said we welcome. And as you mentioned, the infrastructure fund is something that we welcome because we think that, you know, there's a need to pay more attention and devote more resources to infrastructure development. We also welcome the agricultural modernization scheme, which has been announced, again, because we think that agriculture is a very important sector of the economy and that we should give attention and support. Then also there's a small and medium scale enterprises fund, which was also mentioned in the budget. We also welcome that, again, because we think that we need to, the state must support the manufacturing sector, which has been stagnating, you know, over the years. But we think that it has the greatest potential to create jobs. We also welcome, you know, the executive pay cut of 10%. Even though, well, we think that it's a good gesture and it sends the right signal, you know, to the rest of the Ghanaians that we are in very difficult times, and the executive is asking us to tighten our belt. So, you know, that signal should come from the top. So we welcome this initiative, but we also, yeah, maybe if you ask the next question, because these are some of the positive things that we think should, you know, mention.
Yeah.
Has become the lead sector of the economy, the fastest growing sector. for the extractive industry, the mining, and the oil, also driving, you know, growth. But it looks like these sectors are not creating enough jobs. And for some reason, these sectors don't seem to be creating enough jobs. On the other hand, the manufacturing sector, you know, it has been stagnating. Because it contributes about 7%, less than 7% of GDP, when services is contributing over 10% of GDP. You know, so we think that the problem is that manufacturing and industry is not, you know, growing fast enough, and therefore, the capacity of the country to generate jobs is somehow affected.
Why are the people going to be discussion of the Code Republic?
We shouldn't be doing that. You know, the budget is supposed to be approved by Parliament. You know, that's why, you know, the Minister of Finance, the government submits their budget to Parliament, and they approve the fee on the sector. But it looks like then at the end of the year, the expenditures that are approved by Parliament are exceeded by a very wide margin. If you look at what happened in 2012, for instance, it was an election year, fine. But so what? I mean, if Parliament were exercising its oversight role over the budget, like they do in America, you know, Obama cannot just go out and spend beyond what the Congress has approved for them. But we have the same kind of system in Ghana, and that's why we are recommending that there should be a parliamentary budget office, which is independent, and then comprising all the different parties, so that they can closely, by, you know, monitor the budget. You know, because at the end of the day, if Parliament has approved the expenditure ceiling for government, I don't see why they should exceed it without anybody sanctioning the government. So that is where we have a problem. We think that Parliament must exercise its oversight responsibility over the budget.
Setting up all of us depends multi-party partnership budget office with that. That was more than spending in the public sector. Is that the right policy?
That's what we're talking about. So that is oversight. That's monitoring. But we also mentioned that the expenditure level which the government has also submitted is already too high, which to be able to, you know, cut it down. And the acts should fall largely on recurrent expenditure, you know, which is dominated. Of course, the wage bill takes a chunk of expenditure, but there's also interest costs, you know, the subsidies and subventions, you know, all these. And then, of course, government consumption of other goods and services is also part of it. You know, but if you look at the composition of expenditure, and it's like every time, you know, recurrent expenditure, that's consumption, takes a disproportionate share of expenditure, and then we always sacrifice capital expenditure, you know, for recurrent expenditure. That is not good enough for the long-term development of this country. We want to spend more on development expenditure and less on current present consumption. So we are asking for a rebalancing of expenditure also, as well as, you know, cutting it down. And cutting expenditure down, we also mentioned that we have to also, you know, undertake serious reforms in the public sector. You know, the public sector can reduce its size and make more efficient and more productive. And this, we are talking about, when we talk about the public sector, that also includes the government sector. The size of government is also too large. We need to do something about that.
Doctor, thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Doctor, thank you. It was a comment by IEE. James line. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, we are going to propose the multi-party parliamentary bill to the government and is not to ensure that there will be any budget deficit. Do you agree?
No, I do not agree. First of all, the issue about establishment of a budget office in parliament is not a new thing. It's something that we have started far back as 2006-2007. So currently, there is even a draft bill which the executive will have to sponsor and bring to parliament for the establishment of a parliamentary budget office. Now, the functions of this office is in a way to assist members of parliament in, first of all, analyzing the budget whenever the budget is presented to parliament. This office will be staffed with professionals. Professionals in the sense, not politicians. So that is why I say I do not agree with the proposal that a multi-party parliamentary budget office should be established. That should not be the case at all. Would you have a parliamentary budget office which should be manned with professionals, technocrats, economists, accountants, statisticians, who should take a budget document and analyze it. Now, the budget office, which must come with an act, which we call the Budget Act, should make a provision that in the process of the budget preparation, an input should be sought from members of parliament, or an input should be sought from the parliament as an institution, so that the final document that will come to the House would have an insight of members of parliament. Then parliament would feel as part of that process. What is happening currently in the absence of parliamentary budget office is that the executive will prepare a budget and submit it to parliament. Parliament cannot make any change in that budget. It cannot increase the amount. So even if members of parliament want some kind of projects, they can only comment and say, this thing should have been in the budget, but it is not in the budget. And that is the end. But if in the process of preparing the budget, these members of parliament are consulted through the existence of parliamentary budget office, their views would have been incorporated in anyhow or somehow in the final document. That should be the role of the budget office. So, yes, I agree that there should be a budget office. I also agree that this is not the first time this issue has come up. It is something that is running and we are working towards that one. But we are not agree that it should be a multi-partisan. It should not be staffed with politicians. It should be staffed with what? Technocrats who are professionals who should do the right job. Approve this for government and government stay within these limits, That it means that at the end of 2014, Ghana will have a deficit of 8.5.
All
the
right.
situation only arises when amount that have been approved for government, like in this case, 35 billion, government will go and spend beyond the 35 billion. That is why the indiscipline comes in. But that is being addressed by the establishment of contingency funds.
All right. What is it called? Your time with us. All the parties committee on finance and Dr. Apia Kubu, he for a come and member of the parliamentary committee on poverty reduction, and his brother son Delina. Dr. Delina is suggesting that an independent multi-party parliamentary body office is established to monitor government spending. Would you support such recommendation?
Yeah, good evening, madam. And let me greet your church listeners, particularly those in Akuma, my constituents. Indeed, it is a good idea, and I can associate myself with such a proposal. Most of the developed democracies have such a thing which has been already into laws. It is similar to having a budget office. And this proposal has been on the table in Parliament for quite some time now. Even if it was initially championed by the former majority leader, Aban Babin. But you know, since parliamentarians cannot propose private bills, it will always have to come from the government, the executive. Even if it was part of the executive, it's not been possible for him to bring it to Parliament, or it's not been supported, let me say, put it that way, supported to make it a law. It's a good idea, especially in the office, and indeed contribute immensely to stabilizing the economy, the macroeconomic situation, and the economy of Ghana. And of late, we do not have such a stable economy. They can also access policy and provide oversight. You know, policy is supposed to have policy assurance committee, which is give assurance and perform the oversight functions over the budget. Such an office can provide evidence to such a body in ensuring the oversight. It can also assist the Ministry of Finance itself in providing evidence for proper planning and policy making. It can also assist other ministries as well, economic ministries and planning, policy making ministries, or policy re-engineering. But indeed, the problem of budget balance, is it a problem that we do not have as an office? It is a condition that we have a budget office or such a multi-party body. I would say not even a multi-party body. I would also associate myself with the suggestion of monographic democracy, that it should be the office should be equipped with technocrats, people with high expertise to run that office. Such a thing can assist immensely. But what we need to do is to have institutions that can make the body run very, very effectively. You see, we have accountability to spend will face the consequences. That alone will be sufficient for us to ensure fiscal stability. Just imagine the events that occurred in 2012. You see that certain institutions, certain rules were intentionally deactivated just for the sake of political expediency. But nothing happens. Who is to fix the music? Nobody. He says the institution has too much money. And that's it. But how possible? Who is to fix the consequence and let that person face the consequence because of overspending? It alone causes a breach of the Appropriation Act.
All right.
Government that overspends. It's in breach of the Appropriation Act. But what happens? Nothing. Need to face any consequences.
All right.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That person face consequences. Solve that problem. I believe that some of these issues will be kind of the past.
Dr. Wendy, thank you for your time with us tonight.
Let's go to the area of the question. It's not that we are in the process of looking at the nuclear plant for energy.
So if you are healthy, and you don't want to take that meeting, you can So maybe if you have more space in the
apart from politics, will make all the plans visible. I'll put it this way. Direct is doing a lot of using the gas energy. From statements and from government, we realize that they're taking the progressive and deliberate. When I say deliberate because they want to do it right. Because number one, you might say Arab language, what does it mean to have a plan? What they did was, okay, they have money, so they put up a bid. They regulated, they imported people from all over, they want to put their regulatory stuff. They have the money for that. Because they think the chairman of the U.S. Regulatory Authority, he's not the chairman of the U.S. Regulatory Authority, because he can afford to us to pay. They brought in the people to build a plan, because they're paying. Unfortunately, we are not damaged, although we are discovered that we are in the type of war. So we need to do the good bit. That's why I had a school of graduates school of nuclear engineering. Train the human resources, because for any activity that you do, you need to put what to do. And that's knowing that they should be knowledgeable, and you need to put the camera. And that's it. So we're taking that step.